You finish reading these few pages, you'll know what you can do to help yourself and those you love live longer with a diagnosis of colon cancer, as well as what you can tell your family to help them avoid it. Chapter 2: Finding the Colon Cancer Diet. When I started doing my research for this book, I learned that we know a great deal about colon cancer. Well, we know a great deal about how to perform surgery on patients with colon cancer. Most of the studies on colon cancer in the last 10 years have been a discussion about whether cutting someone wide open or using little cuts, laparoscopic, in surgery is better. Laparoscopic wins, but mostly because surgeons usually only open someone up when things start to go south. Tearing, bleeding, you get the idea. So it would be fair to say that getting open surgery means you have more cancer, not that open surgery itself is worse for you. We also know a great deal about what causes colon cancer in the general population. It turns out that our standard Western diet and lifestyle, sitting all the time, are the perfect breeding grounds for colon cancer. The increased risk from a poor lifestyle is very high. So yes, you probably contributed to your colon cancer's growth, unless you have a rare genetic cause. Notice I said contributed, not caused. You may have helped it grow, but you didn't cause it. We'll deal with the emotional impact of that fear later. If anyone tells you you caused your cancer, slap them for me. But also slap anyone who says you should ignore your diet and lifestyle's contribution to your cancer's cause. Just bad luck. Looking for the contributing causes in your life can help you improve your chances of staying healthy going forward. I wrote this book for those of you in the waiting mode, like me. If you are currently in chemo or getting radiated, chances are the best thing you can do is get in as many of the right kind of calories as you can. I'll give you some suggestions, but I also forgive you ahead of time if all you feel like doing is lying around and eating ho-hos. Forgive yourself. You are undergoing the equivalent of an internal war. Keep your morale and your energy up. That's your first priority. If this book helps you, keep reading. If it annoys you, throw it halfway across the room with those chemo-weakened arms and leave it lying there until you feel better. We're going to take a quick tour through the genetics of colon cancer, talk about diet and exercise, hint, they do matter, and also talk about some supplements, including aspirin and coffee. I'll cover a couple of the well-known alternative diets, Gerson and Mediterranean, and we'll talk about them in terms of colon cancer risk. I'll also give you my own diet choices. I'm doing far more to stay well than I would recommend for others based on what we know for certain from the studies we have on colon cancer and diet. We'll end on the meaning and the focus you give your cancer. Come on, doesn't every diet book end with a lifetime chapter where the author tells you it's going to be easy to do this for the rest of your life? It won't be easy, but we can get there. Chapter 3. Does it run in your family? Does it run in your family? Is the first question I get after being diagnosed with colon cancer at the early age of 45. It never fails. Run, I want to say. It practically gallops. But that wouldn't be true. My family history is disturbingly clean. You would think that the doctors would know better by now. The family history question should only come up after a long discussion of lifestyle issues. But my local cancer center seems desperate for my complete family tree to track down where on earth my cancer came from. We know where it came from. It came from where almost all colon cancers come from, diet and lifestyle. But we're going to talk about genetics first to get that out of the way. The runs in your family question assumes that if you have a family member with colon cancer, you are more likely to get colon cancer yourself. And it's true, you are. But you're not as likely to get it as you'd think. For those of you who've had a colonoscopy, you know there's cancer and there's polyps. Polyps are like the moles of the gut, little bits of gut tissue sticking out from the walls of your intestines. They look something like skin tags on your skin, only fatter at the base. You can have lots of polyps and no cancer. But the more polyps, the greater the risk one of them could turn into cancer. A lot of what we know about family colon cancer risk concerns polyps, not cancer. Polyps aren't cancer, they just increase your risk of getting cancer. If you have a close family member who has a lot of polyps, you double your risk of also having polyps. If you have two close family members with polyps, the risk doubles again. If they have large polyps, then you have double the risk of having large polyps. Remember, polyps aren't cancer, but you do share your chances of getting lots of polyps with your family. Twice or even four times the risk, two or more relatives, sounds like a huge risk if it runs in your family. But remember, that's just the risk for polyps. The risk of actual cancer is much lower. How low is the actual cancer risk from your family history? Let's start with an average